Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Pour for the Course. Thanks for joining us. We've got a special edition episode today where Tommy, Matt, and myself are on location in northern Michigan and just got off of a phenomenal round at Crystal Downs. We've got a nice long week trip up here where we're going to play a couple of great courses. We played Arcadia, wrapped up Crystal today, and we're going to be playing Kingsley tomorrow. So some fun episodes and content to come. But today we're going to give you a quick little Snapchat from our round today and looking forward to diving into the details in a short series that is yet to be called or titled. So we'll come up with a name. I'm sure it'll be creative as we give it a title, but we're a work in progress here and going off the fly and shooting from the hip here. So hopefully you enjoy this episode. Thanks for tuning in. And for now, let's get to the show.
All right. The Downs. Yeah, baby. 1927. What a day. As Tommy and I said in the car, we should not have been on this location, but we were allowed, even invited, to play Crystal Downs. Matt, you've been here the most. Why don't you give us your takes from today and just on the track?
Just a beautiful course and a bit of a 50-50 day with the spit and rain to start. I'm glad we went when we went, even though it would have been better to wait till noon. I was happy that we decided to weather the storm, even though it wasn't that bad of a rain. The course was phenomenal and played really, really well. I personally thought it was the best that I'd played because of the wetter and slower conditions, but even with the clouds and the storms, we had some sun poking through, and it made for a beautiful day. The course looked green. It played really well. We had it to ourselves, right? There was nobody in front of us, nobody behind us. It felt like we owned the world. It was a beautiful day today, even though it was spitting. Yeah, can't complain. On a day like today out at the Downs, it was phenomenal. We'll dive into the details, but yeah, overall, I think it was a fun day. So Tommy, give us your quick take.
Yeah, totally agree. I like Matt said, it feels like a place that I shouldn't have been. But so very thankful that I got the chance to get out there and play. The golf course is phenomenal. But I think, you know, the thing that sticks out for me is just the overall atmosphere of the club. You know, it's so laid back, and the membership is so welcoming of, and the employees and the staff, you know, everybody is, you know, so welcoming of you being there and so thankful that you're there. You know, the number, you know, got asked several times, you know, anybody's first time or any first timers here. And, you know, I sheepishly raised my hand and they're like, oh, that, you know, glad you're here. What'd you think? And, you know, it just awesome. You know, getting to pick people's brains, hear stories about, you know, matches that occur or, you know, the history of the club, things that have happened. You know, just, we were talking about a course that, you know, was founded nearly 100 years ago. And, you know, and as we were playing the round and, you know, kind of asking questions about, you know, what's happened over those 100 years, you know, the astounding answer to me was essentially, you know, nothing has changed on the course in 100 years, which I think just speaks volumes about, you know, the design work that Alistair McKenzie and Perry Maxwell did, that there's a course that, you know, all the changes in golf, you know, with distance and with the balls and with the technology, and, you know, we went out there and played, you know, the blue tees. It's 6,500 yards. You know, it's not a tremendously long golf course, but we're hitting drivers everywhere, right? Like, it's not a 6,500 yard course where you need to hit four irons off of seven tees, right? We're hitting drivers everywhere. We are battling around the greens, and the architecture just has stood up to every change that the game of golf has experienced over those 100 years with very minimal intervention. And I mean, to me, that was the most amazing part of it, was just being blown away by that. So I'll pass it down, but that was my biggest takeaway.
So, Matt, we got to get your takeaway too, and I'll pass the mic over to you, but also give us like a comparable course. Like, you've played a lot of courses. What does this remind you of, if you had to pick a course to compare Crystal Downs to?
Yeah, so obviously you're getting limited inventory here, right? I haven't played the top 100 golf courses, but yeah, it's not quite on par with Darby Creek National, but it's the best kept secret, you know, amongst this group. So, yeah, so I guess, where do I start? I mean, the one thing that Bill highlighted that I think is very cool is both 1 and 10 start very high, and you can see a lot of the golf course from number 1 tee and number 10 tee, and that's pretty cool. Like, you're starting up, moving down, and then you're kind of moving out and around, and they work you back to the clubhouse on each nine. But the two courses that came to my mind, one of them is a little bit of a stretch because the green complexes are nowhere near as big, but it's the Camargo Club, in the sense that everywhere you drive the golf ball at the Camargo Club, you're thinking, gosh, this is going to be so hard to get the distance correct on my second shot if I'm not in the fairway. So you can hit driver almost everywhere, but really it's a second shot golf course, and you have to be in the right quadrant of the green. That was what came to my mind. And then as we were kind of ending the first nine, I thought of Moraine, and I started asking Bill about Moraine, because Moraine has taken down all these different trees, and, you know, there's heather and it's in play, but it's not dominating the course. And you have the green complexes where, I mean, let's just face it, there's spots where you have no prayer of getting the ball up and down if you miss it in certain places. That's kind of what I got a feel for today out at Crystal Downs. But I don't know. I mean, it's I was describing it to somebody in a text message earlier. They were asking me about it, and I was saying, like, there are rules, but it's laid back, and it's old, but it's not stingy, and it's short and difficult, but it's not quirky. Like, it kind of checks all the boxes, you know? I mean, like, I guess I could see if they're playing 12 and a half stimp greens, there's going to be some pins that you're going to put it off the green at least once. But the way we played it today, which is probably around a 10, if I had to guess, 10 to 10 and a half, perfect. Like, everything that you did on the greens, you could take ownership of and say, oh, I hit that too hard, or I hit that too soft, or I hit it too far left or right. And you can get away with some things off of the tee, but every time I missed the fairway, immediately I was thinking, what is Bill going to tell me about the second shot here? And am I going to get away with missing the fairway? Like, do I have to hold a 15-foot area on the greens, or can I get away with this tee shot? So, I mean, it was 65. I'm looking at the card now. 6509. And we may have played less yardage than that, because Bill said there's a new tee box on 13 that was 479. And just to be frank, I'm unsure if the tee box we played was 479 or not. So maybe that one's not on the card. But either way, we did not play more than 6,500 yards by any stretch of the imagination. We hit driver everywhere. It was so much fun. I think I hit hybrid one time off of a tee. And every wedge shot I had, it was like my focus was off the charts. Because it was like, well, I can't spin it too much. I can't miss it too far this way. I can't miss it too far that way. I don't know. It's like the perfect blend of challenging and also... enjoyable at the same time. I don't know how to describe it. It's like it's challenging enough to beat you up a little bit, but also enjoyable enough to where you're like, this is one of the coolest places I've ever been. So that's my quick takeaway there. So
as somebody that's been lucky enough to have played this course three times, I think today was my favorite because it was the most gettable due to the weather and the rain and the being a damp environment allowed the greens to not be as challenging. And I had a lot of fun. I've played it hard and fast and it's tough, but, you know, somebody that is a 20 plus handicap and shoots over 100, it was a lot of fun playing today. Especially going into my last three or four holes when I had a chance to break 100, but kind of fizzled at the end. The course itself was just it was in great condition, a lot of fun. Again, nobody out there. I knew what to expect, but also given the minor rain delay, where we're going to wait a little bit, where we're going to go, to then press on and battle some of the spit and rain. It was really nice to just get out there and not have anybody behind us or in front of us. Somebody was in front of us, I think, for the first hole, and then it was open. Course record was behind us. It was rumored that Mr. Nick Hardy was playing behind us, one or two groups. Did not get to meet him or shake hands. We did see his card, and his card in the pro shop is a beautiful card to look at. Not a blemish on there. Five under on front and back, right? Oh, sick card. But it also was crazy to see that after our round to go like, yeah, that makes sense. And it was gettable for us today. So I really enjoyed my round today. I was actually just, because I was bringing you guys out there to meet Bill, play the place, know the history, there wasn't anything in particular that I was looking forward to. So just maybe a question for you guys, like what were you most excited about as we pegged it and got started on our round today at Crystal? Was there anything that stood out from the history or research that you had looked into prior to the round that you were excited about? I'll ask that question to you guys.
I would say I haven't had the opportunity to play a lot of Alistair McKenzie golf courses. So I was curious and interested in the design elements and, you know, just kind of what that looked like. You know, I've obviously seen, you know, saw Crystal with the, you know, Walker Cup recently. You know, obviously I've seen Augusta and, you know, some of the other designs he's done and, you know, kind of get a sense for, you know, what his, generally what the philosophies are. And, you know, you see some of those elements and the greens at Crystal. And, you know, I know both Matts talked about it and just, you know, needing to hit iron shots to certain spots. And if you miss those, you're going to have some struggles around the green. I know there were four or five holes that I played today, you know, that you miss a green, you know, four paces off the green, but you're in the wrong spot. And it's a battle to make bogey sometimes, because the slopes are such that, you know, you're landing on one, or you've got to carry it over one, or you know, the pin's in such a spot where you just can't get to it, and you've got to accept that you're going to have to make a 20 footer for par, and you know, the chances of making a 20 footer for par are fairly slim, but you've got to be okay with that. So I think seeing the design elements was probably the thing I looked forward to the most. But I always enjoy, I've been fortunate to play a few of the, you know, top 20 courses in the country. And it's always interesting to just see the atmosphere around the club and, you know, just the experience. And, you know, I think talked about looking at, you know, kind of the rules online, but, you know, you get there and I know Matt said, you know, there's rules, but, you know, it's a very laid back, welcoming atmosphere, and people generally just want you to have a good time and enjoy being there. And you know, that's something I appreciate the most. You know, I've been to others that, you know, it's not that way, and it's, you know, I'll call it commercial. Whether that's the right word or not, I don't know. But, you know, you just kind of get the sense that it's a, you know, thank you for your greens fee. Enjoy your round. We'll see you. You know, we'll see you when you get done. And, you know, you didn't feel that way at the Downs. You felt just like you were, you know, internally, I felt like I wasn't supposed to be there, but, you know, externally, you know, it was a, you know, yeah, we're thankful to have you. Correct. So that was mine.
You know, oddly enough, going into this round, because I've played a couple of times, every time I've played, my tee shot on two has been, you know, topped, duffed in the milkweed that's, you know, 7 feet in front of you. I was beyond ecstatic to hit it into the bunker on the left. Thankfully, it was, you know, more than 150 yards in front of me than whatever. So I always get butterflies on one, and seemingly always hit a decent drive, and everybody's like, all right, yeah, no way, you're a 25 handicap. And I played one very well, actually, and I've played one fairly well the last couple of times I played here, but the chip on one was great. I don't know, it was just great. I mean, I was short, I was left. Yeah, I was taught by a member that's been there for ages, and so I don't know how else to describe it, but just you got to be there to see it. It's just so mind-numbingly painful to play one and then top your drive on two. And I think it's just been seared into my mind. So the fact that I overcame that hurdle was, like, to me, after two tee shot, I was like, it's a success. So I was very happy to do that. There's a whole lot of other things that I was excited about this round, but after that tee shot, I told Bill and you guys, I was like, I'm so glad that I am more than 100 yards and down the fairway. So I really like that. That tee shot, I was really glad to get over that hurdle, and now it's going to be breaking 100 here at this course at some point in the future. How about you?
I'm with Tommy. I have not played many, if any, Alistair McKenzie golf courses, so I was on that block as well, just excited to kind of see some of his work and see what's going on. I know I've played a Perry Maxwell golf course. I think Perry Dunes in Kansas is Perry Maxwell and maybe his dad. I'd have to fact check that, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I get it really excited. You guys kind of know the boxes that I look for here. Old, walkable, lots of history. I love history at clubs. I like when clubs like embrace the history. I like when they show it to you without saying like, look who we are because of our history kind of thing, which this place, like, you know, they've got a little back room with a little history and some books on there on the bookshelf. Yeah, like, you kind of, you gotta, like, take a minute to step away from some things to see the history, but they acknowledge it and they embrace it. And, you know, I don't know, when I come to old clubs like this, it's like everything is so simple. There's nothing complicated about what's going on at that operation. And they do treat you well. Like, you would not know, as Bill was telling us, we won't talk in detail about it, but he told us the three ways to become a member. It's not easy. But, like, it's also not complicated. They know who they are. They have a local identity. It's old. It's a place that people love to play. And it's, like, the opposite of corporate. You know, it's just not a corporate place. So, you know, the two pros in the shop are asking us, like, how the day went, and, you know, excited to have you guys here. Hope you guys have a great day. You can move your tea time if you need to. No big deal. The weather's changing. Just tell us what you want to do, kind of thing. That's not because we obviously have a really successful podcast, but that's just because that's the vibe of the club, right? And, you know, I mean, like, what was it in the pro shop? Like, you just write something down. Hey, you know, you took a Gatorade, like, write your member's name down. I mean, goodness gracious, right? Like, that's the simplest system in the world, right? So, I don't know. I was just really excited to, like, be at a club that was checking a lot of those boxes initially. And I expected the greens to be very demanding. They were. You know, I think I mentioned to Tommy, like, in the first six holes, I've never been so excited to two putt. You know, when you're 30 feet and you're thinking, like, oh, I might have a chance here, it turns into, how do I get this putt to the length where everybody says, take it away because you're good. I don't know. I mean, just a really, really cool place. I will say, my opinion is that the 10th time you play a place like this, you're probably a lot better than the first time. There's definitely things I would have done differently on the golf course, other than just be a better golfer in general, right? Just knowing sort of where your margin is on tees versus, you know, when to be aggressive, when to not be aggressive, different conditions dictating how hard or easy a hole is going to play. You know, Bill said something on 8 about, gosh, this hole's really hard today because it's into the wind. I've gotten on in 2 before, but definitely not today. Just kind of understanding some of the dynamics of the setup, I think would be helpful. But, like, as Tommy and I were walking down the fairway together, just laughing, like, yeah, dude, like, we're here. This is great. I think for me, it's the highest ranked, you know, golf course in the U.S. that I've personally played. I know the ratings change all the time and people's opinions are different. I have not played Pebble Beach, Matt. No. Yeah. Maybe another topic for another day. But, you know, just I think, like, yeah, why not? I've never made an effort, guys, you know. But either way, I don't know. We can kind of go any direction from here, but I'm curious. You've been there a couple times, so you asked the questions, and I'm happy to give my opinion on anything.
Well, I was gonna say, as a guide here, do we want to do a debrief? Like, we've got all night, so we could make this a 3-hour podcast. We could make it wrap it up here in the next 15 minutes. Do we want to? We want to do, like, a couple of questions, like favorite hole and, you know, your takeaways from the round. Do we want to do, hey, three, break it up into six chunks, and the first three and all the way to the last three holes. What do you think for tonight? We've got plenty of bourbon, plenty of time, and what do you want? Do you want to go hole by hole? Do you want to go? Tommy and Matt are shaking their heads. We do not want to go hole by hole. Okay, let's do a little breakdown, mini breakdown, front nine, back nine. Give me some thoughts on the front, and then we'll do the same for the back. But so if we aren't going to go details, I think the kind of the two major questions are, you know, tell me your favorite hole from the course. And then like give the, give me the critical view of like, hey, you know, if I'm lucky enough to come back, you know, here are some of the things that I'll change in how I approach the course, things that I'll do differently. And I know that, you know, like you said, Matt, it's weather dictated, swinging the club dictated, all that fun stuff, but just, you know, minor things you might adjust in your approach as you play the course again, if you were to get the chance. Those are the two overarching questions that I would ask. But if we're going to go do a breakdown, let's start with the front nine. We all walked, and we like you said, we played the backs. We had breakfast balls on one. Only one person took it. I'm sorry, Tommy. I did not mean to throw you under the bus there. And I mentioned it, I was like, shoot, I didn't mean to say that. So it's okay. It happens to the best of us.
Wait, let's be fair. We were all planning on taking them.
we were all planning on taking them. Yeah, that's true. And I'm the biggest of the breakfast ball takers. But yeah, we have 1 through 9. What's your takeaway on the front nine? Very walkable. Yeah, give me your debrief on the first nine.
Yeah, I mean, I did take a breakfast ball. it didn't help me at all. I hit my second shot after the breakfast ball off a sprinkler head, which ricocheted up into the heather. So that was a quick double to start the round. But you know, it was, you know, the first hole's good. yeah, it was a tough break. But you know, I think there's some good holes on the front. You know, I liked both the par threes. I think the downhill third was a really cool hole. You know, kind of the property line off to the right, trees behind, kind of a big, not necessarily a deep green, but a very wide green, with some cool hole locations. I like that. The ninth, which is a uphill par three, also very cool, sitting kind of right there below, you know, where the pro shop is and where the grill is. Just lots of visibility, you know, for everybody who's, you know, inside having a Coke or having a sandwich, you know, watching the action, go down. Those were cool holes. The eighth, admittedly is a fun hole for me because it was the only hole I birdied on the front nine. Again, another drive into the heather, but a well executed 7-iron out of the heather to a, you know, a pretty fantastic 6-iron up to 4 feet for a kick and birdie there. You know, those were some of the holes that stood out. I think there's definitely some other good ones. I'm sure these guys will talk about them, so I don't want to steal too much thunder, but I think the par threes and eight were probably the ones that stood out for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's Matt. I do want to know. Because it's a story, so obviously we're gonna set this one up. How are you hitting your 7-iron today?
I will say I did not miss a 7-iron all day. Didn't hit a 7-iron all day. Yeah, there's a little bit of backstory. We were playing unfortunately, you know, tonight, because we're talking about the downs, an overlooked course, Arcadia Bluffs from yesterday, which is unbelievable. Podcast will be coming on that. The pictures still don't do it justice, but, you know, I had a shot yesterday at Arcadia Bluffs where I kind of looked down and I said, man, the Shaft logo, like, I usually can't see that. You know, why am I seeing the Project X logo down there? So I hit the shot and it was like kind of broken bad-ish. And I looked down, I'm like, man, it's just still offline, right? So I just take the club head and kind of try to twist it. Well, I mean, we were turning that sucker 180 degrees real quick and it was not usable. So, of course, yesterday I had to use Tommy's 7-iron, you know, when in doubt, find other friends that are scratch players left-handed. But using it like 3 times in the last 4 holes at Arcadia Bluffs. And then today, I think we're, halfway through the back nine, I said, guys, I have strategically avoided needing to hit 7-iron all day long today. But I will say I did give it to the Crystal Downs Pro Shop staff. And, you know, somehow it did come back worse than when I gave it to him. It is glued together. It may or may not be like 6 degrees up right now, with the ferrule, you know, yeah, not positioned well. Yeah, it's not great. But either way, guys, no 7-iron shots today. It was a great day. They're pulling clubs out of my bag right now, just checking the alignment. Why am I seeing the Golf Pride logo on that 7-iron? That's what I'm asking. Yeah. They did this for free. Okay, Crystal Downs did this club work for free, but it's definitely bent, and it's butchered. I hate to say it, but Matt, you asked about favorite holes. I am so glad that Tommy gave the par threes and hole 8 because I have completely different golf holes. I have, like you said, best holes on the course. I have. The three that I would highlight are hole 4, hole 6, and hole 13. Okay. We're not on the back yet. I know we're not on the back, but like I'm gonna stick to 4 and 6 and just, you know, unbiased, I didn't do anything special on these holes. 4, I drove it in the left bunker and I that actually was my best shot of the day, was from the fairway bunker onto the green. But hole 6 is super cool in that, like, you finally see a tree that's actually, like, in play on the hole. You know, you got to make a decision. We played it into the wind, so it was a really cool golf hole. And then it was one of the few times all day that our member Bill said, this is kind of a green light. You know, you can actually hit right at this flag. And I think that was just based on the pin location. But hole 4, dog leg left to right. You can hug it to the right or you can push it out to the left like I did. And I hit it in the left bunker and had 140 yards in, so it's not an obnoxiously long golf hole, 409. But hole 6, also a dog leg left to right. There's a tree sort of just right of center on where you want to drive the golf ball. And then your second shot has what I would say is very familiar to me at Urbana Country Club, where you have an uneven lie from, I think I had 135 yards in and I was hitting a choke up 8-iron into the wind. So it's just kind of a cool hole where even if it wasn't into the wind, you're being forced to really hit golf shots on that hole instead of just drive it here, hit it there. So those are my favorite two holes. I'm curious to see like what you guys, if anybody mentions hole 9, because hole 9, despite making bogey, like I thought hole 9 was like ridiculously good. The par 3s, but it's just really hard. So I don't know. Matt, what do you think?
I do like hole 9. I like how that green complex works depending on where the pin is. I've sat many a time on some of the chairs up there and the elevated cliff and watch people come through and hit, you know, shots that are you know, 20 feet away from the pin and just watch them funnel the pin. So the pin location does matter on nine. It's a fun but challenging. You can't be left. And unfortunately, Bill went left and bounced further left. Had a tough time. I've been there, though. It's a great hole. There's a couple of fun ones. I do love the blind kind of over the hill on five. Correct. And I think that's fun just because of, you know, like there's some aggressive lines you can take, but there's also, and again, the course conditions that we had, a little slower, but in the dead of the summer, cooked, you're almost better off going further left and letting that puppy ride. The green complex on seven, I think it's seven, right? That little L-shaped, all the hills and stuff. So you all three of you took drive, right?
Yeah.
I laid back, but and I didn't play my second shot well. However, I feel like laying back on that is the right approach because you can put a pitch or a short iron onto that green, and you've got so many different slopes and bowls in that like L-shaped kind of horseshoeish green to get you to wherever the pin is, whether the pin's short to the right or deep and to the left. It feels like it's much better to play from the flat plateau on that fairway versus trying to drive it 301, which I can't do anyways, period. And I think that's the part that kind of like it makes it an equalizer hole, like you guys versus me. We can all put it on the plateau. Right.
Number seven for the tips is 335. Okay. Our handicaps say we're scratched 2, 6, and 20. We went 5, 5, 5, 6. It's 335 yards.
Yeah.
Like, and you laid up. We didn't just all go for it.
Duff the second shot and still had a decent chip. I chipped into the bunker, or the bunker behind the green, but. It's like still, but like it's a good equalizer hole.
It is, and to be fair, this is one of the holes that Matt and I were talking about after the fact, and we both said like, if we had to do it all over again, it would not be like we would not hit driver. We would do what you did, and we would hit something, you know, some debate over whether we hit it to the top of the hill or down to the bottom of the hill. But I want to be on the top. Matt would prefer to be on the bottom, closer to the green, which is fine. But the consensus was like driver, well, it's fun to hit and try to get it, you know, on the green. If we had to do it all over again, I think both of us said we would hit something to lay it up and give ourselves a wedge into that green, like you did.
If you're hitting the ball well off the tee and you're driving the ball 300 yards, today's pin was 305.
You have like 297 carry.
Yeah, correct.
So you're still, even if you're driving it out of your mind, you're still wanting to lay up onto that flat spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think just the way that green is situated, like, the fact that you've got to carry it 300 yards to get it up there, if you carry it 290 or 285, it's going to hit that hill and trickle down to the bottom. And then you're going to leave yourself with this, you know, kind of pitch shot up that hill. And then once you get to the crest of that hill, it's a downslope all the way to the green. And so, you know, while there's a little bit of backstop behind, you've got to be pretty darn precise with what you're doing. And, you know, Matt was there at the bottom, hit a great pitch shot. It was probably about a yard short of where it needed to be, and it just sat on the top of the hill. And so, you know, I think that's just, you know, kind of the nature of what you get when you're playing Crystal, right? That you're going to be faced with some pitch shots that you've just got to hit a shot. And
any hole you're not a fan of on the front?
Yeah,
I got three holes I've
No, not so much on the front. I thought the holes on the front were fair. I certainly didn't play a couple of them well, but that's no fault of the golf course.
I'll say something about hole one. I mean, obviously Tommy got a raw deal with. I mean, he pulled his 8-iron 3 yards and it hits a spring. It's pitching wedge. Hits a sprinkler head, goes, you know, who knows where. But like hole one, right? We're saying like, what are we looking forward to? You know, hey, how's this place gonna be? We're excited. We're finding out very quickly on handicap one. We're finding out very quickly on hole one that Bill plays very quickly. So, I mean, it's 461. Handicap one. We are stoked to be here, right? We're riding on cloud nine. It's the same type of nerves that you'd have like playing a tournament, right? Like you're just excited to be there. I mean, I pipe it down the left side and I've got, I don't know, 161 yards and it says it's playing 164 and Bill's like, yeah, you know, don't be way left. Also, don't be right. And I'm like, okay, well, there's got to be somewhere to hit it. I have an 8-iron. I'm not a PGA Tour pro. I hit this thing 20 feet right of the flag, maybe 5 feet short of pin high. I'm like, this has got to be perfect, you know, like the whole green slopes right to left. I mean, the ball rolls sideways and backwards, and I have 50 feet for birdie remaining. And I'm like, I missed that shot by 2 yards to the right, and I'm like, okay, welcome to the downs.
So I've played it a couple of times, and one of the gentlemen that I've played it with is like, you're always going to be there because we've played. I can't think of a time where I've played a pin different. Maybe mid. One time we played a pin in the middle of the green there, but you always want to be below the pin. And a gentleman that I played with hit it. Was way short of the green. He's like, that's fine. That's exactly where I want to be. Yeah. And you hit the green, but you just roll to that same spot. And it's just like, that's fine. That's where you're going to end up. And I feel like the gentleman who has been here for 1,000 years was just like, I know that no matter where I put it on the green, that's where I'm going to be. So I'm happy to be there.
Do you remember he said Dr. Ken just plays to the front of the green? And then he just tries to get up and down from there. Yeah, or Dr. Ed. Sorry, Dr. Ed. So Dr. Ed just plays to the front of the green. And I remember thinking like, dude, I'm 161 yards. Like, I'm not playing to the front of the green, right? The pin's right in the middle of the green. I'm going to hit an 8-iron there. Nah, you're going to putt from the front of the green. Yeah, this is crazy. So I can't believe I'm saying this, but I don't like have a critique of the front nine. It is a phenomenal 9 holes of golf. There's probably pins out there that are outrageous, but I would say that is 18 for 18 on this golf course. They could use 18 legal and outrageous pin locations on this golf course.
Yeah, for what I don't have as a critique of the front nine, I probably have 2x on the back, and we'll get to that. But overall, you're buzzing when you're teeing off, and we're off and running. You make the turn and nobody has a hole in one. That's unfortunate. We refresh the drinks. You can snag a quick bite if you need to. And it's a beautiful setup I think I know where you're going to go. You want the mic so bad, but like, yeah, I'll let you say, cause you're probably gonna say it better than I can. Like, the setup is awesome when you come from 9 green to get ready to tee off on 10.
The only thing I was going to say is, you know, we all went inside and just, I think I filled up the water bottle. I don't even think I got anything. I don't know what you guys did, but I filled up the water bottle. And there are, if I'm correct on this, there are 3 ways to enter the pro shop / locker room / grill room facility. One of them is a screen door out the back. And I came out the screen door and you guys looked at me like,
I can't believe he just came out of a screen door. And I said, how many times have you guys walked out of a screen door onto the 10th tee box? And everybody was like, zero. And I was like, I've done it once. I just did it. So that was the only thing I had to say, is like the screen door slammed behind me and then I walked to 10 tee.
To be fair, the our host also walked out of the screen door. So
he can do that anytime.
But I understand. But you clearly understood what the members do and went with that plan. Matt and I walked out of the normal door around the corner, just walking on the pavers, following the path. But that's okay.
I think the like ease of access. You get off, you walk off of the little mini putting green there to one, awesome. Come back up 9, and then you're just there on 10. You can snag a bite, get your refresh of water, hit the bathroom. And you can sit in that little shop, the little, lounge, and watch people tee off on 10, and it's sick. It's great. Phenomenal. And to your point, the way you started and what Bill had mentioned is that the fact that 1 and 10, you're elevated, so you can kind of see the shots as they go down. It's great. And 10, if you've been here or you've played here before and you kind of know 10, it's a bit diabolical, and it's kind of a love hate, and I like it because I hate it, but it's just fun to some extent, but also you have to kind of know what's going on the green on 10. And so when I think of, we're going into the back nine here of like holes that we love, we'll start there. 10's not one for me, but it is a really cool visual. It's a really cool visual. And the funny thing is, like, I've never played 10 like poorly. I've seen other people have just horrendous chip and putts. But let's talk the full back nine. Thoughts, comments, feedbacks, and things you loved. Just let's focus on the positives. Things you loved.
Okay. It's probably controversial, but I loved hole 10, and I think it might just be because that might have been my best drive of the day, and also I had 97 yards and I hit it exactly where I was supposed to. Now, like, we should frame this up. Hitting it exactly where you're supposed to is very different at this place than at your local, let's say Darby Creek National. But I hit it to 97 yards, the ball spun right, I had 25 feet for birdie. And Bill said, perfect. And I'm like, well, ordinarily, like, 25 feet for birdie is not, nobody says perfect, right? And you get up there, and then you start to see the ball roll on the green, and you go, okay, I understand. This really is a perfect shot. I have an uphill 25-foot birdie putt. Awesome. So I understand probably the hate that number 10 takes on the back nine, but also just do what I did, just hit it down the and that's the only time on this entire course I'll say do exactly what I did. I don't know. I'll go, I guess I would like to talk about the putt I had on 11, but I did choose 13 as probably my favorite hole in the back nine. It's the number 2 handicap hole. It's, I guess I'm a sucker for the hard golf holes, but I mean, Tommy and I are both in the fairway. I think he's hitting 9-iron. I'm hitting 8-iron. And we have just crushed these drives. I mean, like, it's 479. And I don't know if that's the new tee box or not, but, like, I think the new tee box is even further back. So, well, either way, I think I've got 160 yards in, and I don't know, Tommy's got 150. And Bill just says, there's a pin back left, and the member, Bill, tells us, don't be right, which is 2/3 of the green to the right of the flag. And I look at Tommy, and I go, what the heck is he talking about? Don't be right. I go, I'm planning on hitting it in that giant right section of the green. I go, where is he talking? So we try our best. I aim at the flag. I pull it, 5 yards. And I immediately, the ball is apexing. It's an 8-iron headed for 20 to 25 feet that I am all of a sudden completely dissatisfied with because it's right of the flag. The ball hits
about 20, 25 feet, boom, rolls out to 40 feet. And I'm like, gosh darn it, man. Like, no wonder he's saying don't be right, because the ball just keeps going right. Tommy proceeds, tries to hit it at the flag, pulls it right. We're both right of the flag going like, I don't know, man. Like, how do you get it left of the flag? Like, the ball's above our feet. We're trying to hit it left. It's just not working out. So, you know, that hole, we get up there, like, I end up two putting. It's not anything super, super special, but from like a course design perspective, there's a hump in the middle, maybe two thirds of the way back, that like forces you to either get the ball over that hump, and then it will really reward you and get the ball close to the hole, or you are forced to make a difficult two putt or an up and down on the right side of the green. And, you know, looking back at the advice he gave, you can be right. It's just that, like, the job is not over. You know, you're going to have to work to make your four. And I liked Tommy ended up hitting a second chip on that hole where he, you know, you used a backstop in the middle of the green to get a ball to roll really close. And I was just thinking, like, what other golf course have I seen someone like chip a ball to a hump in the middle of a green to roll it back towards the back of the green to 4 feet, tap in, like, let's get out of here? It was just sort of like the most obnoxiously fair but difficult hole that I've played in a long time. And I don't know, I liked it. Maybe I'm a sucker for punishment, like I said, but yeah, 480. And I just remember watching the ball fly in the air from the fairway thinking, like, I'm mad at this shot. Why am I mad at this shot? I'm not good enough to be mad at this shot. But just the fact that the member said, don't go right. And I'm like, there's nowhere to hit the ball left of the flag. I don't understand what you're saying. So I'd be curious to get your guys' comments. But we will have to talk about 11 at some point. I'll say that.
Yeah, we'll dive into 11. But I do think, for me, 13 is my favorite. But I like it just from a visual perspective. I think it's a really cool hole. And I can't wait for you guys to see Kingsley tomorrow, because I think we're gonna have a similar comparison. So I'm not trying to like prop Kingsley up or get you excited about something about Kingsley that may or may not be there. But yeah, I'm excited to have this debrief with you guys after playing both Crystal and Kingsley. So the other comment that I'll make, and this was post 11, is like the trek after the green on the green hole. We'll have to talk about the green at 11.
Yeah.
Post that hole, it's a bit of a trek. And so Bill decided to stop walking. He got into a cart, and smart man, we still decided to trudge on with weighted down, watery towels and everything else weighing us down. We took the cut through the woods. We saw a nice, beautiful little 6-point baby buck as we crested up the hill and got onto the 13 tee box, or 12 tee box. But yeah, that was really cool. Just that whole moment alone of after we finished 11, snapped a quick pick, decided to press onwards. I thought that part was cool. I do love 13. I think it's a really fun hole. Had a blast for different reasons, more just visual aesthetics that I love about that hole. But tell me your favorite on the back.
Yeah, I would say 13 as well. I really like that hole. The thing that sticks out to me most on the back, and, you know, I know there's a couple spots on the front that, you know, we talked about, you know, if I had to do it over again, but like the back stands out to me as a, you know, I've played some courses where you get done with it and you're like, I'd love to play that two or three more times. Like now I know where things are, what to do, kind of the general idea. Like, you know, Tobacco Road is one that stands out to me, is like, you know, that Strands design. There's just so much like in your face, like, you know, mounds and hills, and it's so visually intimidating. But then when you get out there, you realize the landing zones are here and they're huge, and, you know, it's just kind of visually a challenge. you know, I think about, you know, the back nine at Crystal, and, you know, we talked about 13 and that mound in the middle, and, you know, I hit that second chip because the first time, right, I'm behind the green. There's a downslope towards the hole, and then there's this big mound in the middle of the green. So you're kind of sitting in this bowl, at least from where I was, and on 13. And, you know, I hit this pitch shot that's pretty good, lands on the downslope, rolls past the hole by 8 feet. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, oh, you know, there's that backstop, but with the moisture and with the greens rolling the way they are, like, it's probably not going to get, like, if I pitch it up there, it's probably not going to get all the way back. And so I didn't try to do that. But I tried to do it the second time, and I got it up there, and it rolled, like Matt said, it rolled down to 4 feet. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, that's a very accessible way to hit this shot, because the way I tried to do it, there was no way I'm getting it inside 8 feet. You know, you land it short, it's going to hit the downslope. Like, you just can't do it. And so, you know, I think about that. I think about 12, where we come out of the hill, and it's this dogleg right hole. There's this tree in the right heather with a road running down the right side. And, you know, essentially the advice we're given is hit it over. Essentially, the advice we're given is hit it over this tree, right, in the right heather. Yeah. And you're looking at it like, well, the road's right there. That's a really hard thing for me to commit to. Yeah. But then you get up there, and, like, I hit a little bit of a draw, you know, just to the right of the tree. And, you know, I'm like, oh, that's not going to end up in a great spot. But we get up there, and it's right on the right edge of the fairway, like, perfect. Yeah. And so, you know, there's a couple other spots on the back, but that's the thing that stands out to me most is, you know, if I had the opportunity to play it two or three more times and really get a feel for, you know, we've talked about it being a second shot golf course, but if I had the opportunity to get a feel for, you know, some of the blind tee shots, like, where do I need to put them? And then, you know, playing each hole backwards, like, if I'm trying to access, you know, a certain part of the green, where do I need to, you know, if you're trying to strategize and figure that out, I think playing it, you know, two, three, four, five more times, like, you get a lot more comfortable with what you need to do and really be able to execute on some of those shots. And, you know, that's the thing that stands out to me most on the backside. There's several other holes that we can talk about, but that's kind of where I landed on the back.
I just looked at your 7-iron. There's nothing wrong with it. You're actually a loser if you can't hit that club fine. It looks like a brand new club. It looks pristine.
It does look like it's brand new. It looks like a right-handed golfer got their hands on it.
It looks like I fixed it for you.
Dude, maybe one of the moments in my life where I've had to choose to be the most respectful ever was taking a look at this 7-iron that they handed back to me, looking down on it, and then telling them, thank you guys, I appreciate you maybe fixing it. All right, so hole 11. I want to read you guys something from, I was trying to look up, like, rankings, you know, where does Crystal Downs fall? Are there different opinions here? And I stumbled upon top100golfcourses.com. Seems like this is like a, they got like a whole membership. They have people comment. They got Augusta National ranked 8th. Okay. We got a strong site. Okay. Number one was Cypress. Yeah. I mean, I think Shinnecock was 3. Like, these are legit places they got, you know, but it's just, hey, their opinion. So it's all good. So number 11, Tom Doak. January 2020. He says, I only got over to play the course where I pay to belong for a half dozen rounds last year. But I was also there for several days with Brian Schneider in September to rebuild the diabolical green at the par 3 11th. Our friends at the PGA Tour tell us they won't use a hole location that has more than 2% slope. I wonder what they would have made of the middle and back tiers on the 11th green at Crystal Downs, which each had 6% of slope, separated by a tier that was 9%. We wound up lowering the back of the green by more than 2 feet to make it all work, and I think we are right on the cusp of people thinking we didn't quite do enough. I had a six-footer for par today that was an F1 race down a hill and 2.5 cups right to left break. It was by far the best putt I made all day, and I was like, what's happening here? I had a perfect pitch shot to get to 6 feet, and I was rewarded with almost asking Tommy to move his coin, and he was 2.5 cups right. And I'm like, is it really breaking this much? Yeah, it breaks that much. So the 11th green is obnoxious. I guess you said you've played it in a different pin location when the pin's on the back. I don't know if that's easier, but at least you know what you're getting in the sense of like, hey, we have to get the ball all the way back to the tier. So maybe you can comment on that, but what a hard hole. The solution to this hole is like somehow on your first shot, hit it to the proper tier. And we played it into the wind today and all of us came up woefully short. So
I'm a little bummed that nobody's given me props for my fourth shot on this hole because after duffing my tee shot and hitting a pitching wedge to the second tier and putting off of the green to, I don't know, it felt like 20 feet, you know, yeah, down that hill where I almost considered picking the ball up and just walking off to smashing my putter to within, you know, 3 feet. Yeah. Yeah. To 3 feet. On my fourth shot. Like we were just like, you know, oh yeah, that's Matt. Okay. We're just gonna accept that my fourth shot is just, you know, normal happenstance. But that, yeah, it was truly an elite shot. But we all, or at least Matt, you took a couple swipes at it from where I was on the second tier. It was like we're kind of hoping to die the ball and hope it doesn't get too much steam to then roll off like my putt did, to maybe aiming, you know, 90 degrees to the right and just kind of playing a big swooper or at least getting it down softly to this first tier and then having a better chance at a par putt if you're not a dork like me and not hitting the green. Yeah, it's a cool green because of the different tiers and spots where you can see a pin. It almost feels easier if it's in the back because you fly it, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's other things I'm not considering. There's a lot of fun to be had on that hole. And then the thing that I really appreciated afterwards, not golf related, was we walked off it. We're ready to go kind of trudge through the woods, you know, Robin Hood and his boys. We turn around and somebody had the bright idea of like just looking backwards, and we looked backwards and was like, just gorgeous. So broke some rules, snapped a quick pick, who cares? We had a blast, and it was a great view of what we just kind of went through in the hole itself, but also the course is just so beautiful, and there's not a lot of awe-inspiring shots like we talked about at Arcadia Bluffs, where every single spot on the course just feels like a postcard. There's not too many of them. Depending on the day, if you've got a lot of haze, you can't really see much. We kind of had a mixture of haze and clear sunshine, but just to turn around and take a sneak peek of that, I was like, yeah, just look at where you're at. Look what course you're on. It was such a great reminder of like, I got totally railed by that hole in the green and had fun doing it. But I was just like, yeah, you just can't be mad. And then we trudged through the woods and saw a 6-point buck who we could have, you know, spat on. And he had no care in the world as we crested up and got ready to tee off on the Wide Open Spaces of 13. And, excuse me, 12. Who hit the fairway? And nobody? Tommy did. And, yeah, just a lot of fun on the back nine. A lot of fun, a lot of hiking, but a lot of fun on the back nine.
All right, so we're talking about the golf course holding up to the test of time. Apologies for audio difficulties there if we don't end up editing this. But hole 12 is 422. The member is telling us to essentially hug what appears to be a road just right of this hole. And he's like, yeah, you can just kind of hit it right of this tree, which the tree is all the way on the right side of the golf hole. And we're like, okay, too far, right? So, of course, like in complete Matt fashion, I push it out to the left and just completely ignore all advice that's given and just hit the complete wrong golf shot. And he says, oh, you'll be fine. Like, maybe it sneaks into the heather, but maybe it's primary rough. But remember, the hole's 422. I have 205 into this hole, into the wind. I'm hitting driver 4-iron into a 422-yard golf hole. And I'm literally pulling 4-iron going, I thought this was like a driver 9-iron hole, but if you do not hit the right areas of the golf course, then you are not playing an easy golf hole. You are now playing like fight for your life for par, and that's exactly what I had to do on 12. I'm looking at Tommy, and it looks like he has outdriven me by 95 yards. He had 140 yards in. I mean, he's literally 70 yards in front of me, and I'm like, I mean, dude, like, he doesn't hit it that fast. He doesn't hit it that far. And I'm just like, I am on the wrong golf hole simply because I'm on the wrong side of the hole. So that's the kind of architectural genius where it's like, okay, this could be a birdie hole. Like, you could be hitting wedge or 9-iron. Or you could be hitting 4-iron going, where do we hit this? Anywhere on the green would be great. And that's, unfortunately, the experience I had. But, yeah.
Yeah, when your dispersion is 10 yards versus, you know, 75 yards like me, yeah, good on you guys to be able to control your ball flight. But there's a lot of love on this hole. Have we all gone around of the things we like? Things we don't like on the back nine. I love watching other people struggle on 10's green. I hate when I'm not in the right spot. So part of it is just I'm not good enough, but it's more fun to just see other people and how they play it. Bill plays, you know, some really weird quirky shots, and it's cool to see how he plays, you know, goofy pin locations on 10. Between 10 and 17, there's not a whole lot that I dislike. I do think 17 being kind of like the picturesque, funny, cool hole there. It's more quirky, and the thing I don't like about 17 is you can still hit a really good shot, and just everything seems to be penalized. And I didn't play that hole particularly well, so I guess I'm not the right or the best judge. But even if you pull a pitching wedge from the tee or a driver, no matter what you hit in the bag, you're just always going to get dinged for good shot, bad shot, no matter what. You're just going to get dinged, and you're just kind of like hoping to land it in on a dime, and it's tough. You know, I'm not a big fan of Urbana 7, so it kind of reminds me of that. And that's just why it's a beautiful view from the tee box. And I've got one of the best, most laughable memory stories on 13th or 17th tee box with Mr. Ed. And like, you know, one that I'll never forget. And I'll tell it 1,000 times over. But it's always in my head. And I think I've always duffed and hit bad shots. And I'm just a terrible golfer. So even if I'm playing really good golf and I feel like you guys are really good golfers and hit really great shots, even you guys still got penalized on that hole. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's fair. And maybe this is me as I kind of come into my own. That's my one critique of that hole and of the back nine. I can live with 10. 17 still just kind of irks me a little bit. That's my one critique of the back. How about you?
Yeah, 17 is the one that stands out to me. I think, you know, this is another one that, you know, on the card, it's 309. And, you know, you're kind of sitting there thinking about it, thinking about, you know, oh, you know, probably never going to get the chance to play this golf course again. So, you know, I might as well go for glory and try to, you know, try to drive this green. And, you know, you pull driver and hit it. And, you know, both Matt and I tried to do it. Matt missed his probably 10 yards left. I missed mine 10, 15 yards right of where we were told to hit it. And, you know, Matt's kicked off a side slope and into the weeds and we couldn't find it. Mine missed right into the weeds. We couldn't find it. And so, you know, you get up towards the green and you realize, you know, the closer you get to the green, the tighter it gets. And, you know, that's kind of the nature of a drivable par four, I think. You know, you want some protection. But, you know, as you kind of look back at it, you know, your options are, you know, try to drive the green. You know, there's all kinds of crazy things that can happen up there. And that's fine. Like, I don't mind that piece of it at all. It's really when you look back at the fairway and it's humping and mounding and running and, you know, you look at if I were to hit, you know, a 200-yard shot to try and lay it up in the fairway, like, I'm going to be off of a wicked side slope or a down slope or an up slope or, you know, some kind of awkward lie trying to hit this wedge shot, which, you know, to a 300-yard hole, you know, maybe that's okay, but playing it once, there's just not a real clear safe shot for me. You know, I know the risks when I hit driver at the green and I accept those, but, you know, if I don't want to take on that risk, there's not a real clear second option, at least playing it once. I'm sure there is. But, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine, you know, who's played the course before, and, you know, he was saying, let me know how you do on 17. I said, oh, you know, what's going on in 17? He said, I didn't finish the hole. And so, Craig, if you're listening, I also didn't finish the hole. but, you know, I'll write down a six after a lost ball. But that's okay. It's for the challenge it poses and kind of a stroke play atmosphere. I think it's like fantastic from a match play standpoint. Yeah. You're down to the last two holes. Like, I can just see, you know, matches being tied with two holes to play or somebody being one down with two holes to play and just, you know, saying, okay, I need to hit the gas here. And, you know, thinking, all right, if I can drive it up onto the green, like, I can really put a lot of pressure on my opponent. Conversely, you know, I could swing and miss like me and hit it out of bounds and just lose the match right there. But that's, you know, that's the risk and reward of match play. So it's a quirky little hole. But I don't hate it, but it's also not my favorite. So,
is there anything we disliked about the golf course? Yes, I disliked my decision to hit driver on 17. At the same time, I do agree with my comrades here. Just by laying up, I don't think you make the hole any easier. Tangent comment, it may be the greatest match play course of all time. But hole 17, like,
my home club has so many unlevel, you know, shots under 150 yards that, like, I regretted not just sort of going to what I think for some reason I'm unusually accustomed to, which is just hitting awkward lie gap wedges and sand wedges from the fairway. So I wish I would have hit 5-iron, but I'm a little bit with Tommy, like, oh, if we have a chance to drive it, like, yeah, let's just hit driver. The one thing about 17 that's weird that I noticed walking up is it appears tight from the tee box, but it does appear doable. As you get closer to the green, it does not get any wider. I just remember, like, walking correct. It's a 20 yard window. I think that's probably fair to drive the ball, like, widthwise, 25 yards maybe. And so it's like, yeah, if you hit that window, I could see how you'd say, well, there's nothing. Yeah. Pretty easy hole. But, man, I thought at least I'd be in the heather, and I didn't find my ball. So I had to drop. So, yeah, I don't know. I would lay up on 17. I would lay up on 7. And other than just saying, like, I would just be better at golf, I think those are probably my complaints, but they're not about the golf course. I can definitely see there's a hole. I think they've renovated, so I don't want to. I haven't played it since the renovation, but there's a hole at Lexington Country Club that is, I think it's 17, and the green is known for being like just a hole where if you don't hit it in the right spot, like, you might not finish the hole. And 17 today reminded me of Lexington Country Club, because there's been a couple times where I've played with my buddy and said, that's fine, right? And he's like, dude, you're not gonna like that at all. Like, you're in trouble. You're playing for 5. And it felt like that today, on 17, where it was like, all right, you didn't execute the first shot, so everything good, par, birdie, that's all out the window. Like, how do you make bogey or better? And it's a hard hole. We hit some practice putts up there on the green. It's extremely difficult. Bill had us hit like 50 footers that were breaking 8 feet. And it's just, I don't know, it's a hard hole. I guess playing it one time, like, I don't want to say if I like it or hate it, but I would say after 3 to 5 times I could make an assessment. I just wish I would have made a different decision. But that's all I have to say. So, I don't know. Matt, bring us home.
All in all, a phenomenal day that weather-wise, the back nine was, darn near beautiful. There's not a lot to complain about. And even if you're complaining, you're on one of the world's best golf courses. And, Bill's such a gracious host. And I tried to warn you guys, like, you know, I know he likes to play fast, but he's also, you know, he's so down to earth and just, I've known him for a while. Love him. You get to know him and just, easy to get along with, easy to shoot the shit with. It's a lot of fun to just be out there for 18 holes with a guy like him. And I know that I need to play quicker. I can always learn from him, but I got a couple of other buddies that think that I play slow, and I don't think they know what slow is. I wish I could get Adam and Dave to come play up here with Bill and the guys, because they're slow and I'm not slow, and thankfully these guys are nodding their heads and, you know, vouched for me like I'm not slow. If anybody can keep up with Bill, you're playing quick and you're playing well and you're playing good. But no, Bill had us out there. It was such a great time. He's a gracious host. All the people there at the Downs were enjoyable, pleasant. Great time, phenomenal round. So I loved it. Yeah, you want to say something?
Yeah, I agree with you know, all your comments, and, you know, thanks to Bill for having us. It didn't, he certainly didn't need to do it. And, you know, we appreciate the heck out of him for allowing us to come hang out with him for a few hours on a Wednesday. But, you know, as I know we mentioned that, you know, there may not be, you know, necessarily the postcard hole at Crystal Downs. And, you know, as we were talking, I scrolled through the Golf Digest top 100 holes in the country. There are zero Crystal Downs holes on that list, which 15. Correct. That's what I'm saying. Like, the number of holes from Bandon, Pack, Sheep, like, there are a lot of holes that we have played that, you know, on an individual hole standpoint, you're like, wow, like, what a fantastic golf hole. But from, like Matt said, the body of work at Crystal, and, you know, just the experience overall, and the shots you get to play, the different, you know, the green complexes, you know, all of it put together, just, I mean, it makes for just a unbelievably special place, and, you know, thankful to be there.
Here's one for you. How about the logo? Give me your thoughts on the logo in the pro shop.
So I like, I very much like just the CD. Like, I think that's a great logo. The belt, I didn't notice, honestly, until I was looking at the scorecard. I did not notice the belt. So I'm not quite sure what the belt signifies or represents, but we may have to ask Bill that question tomorrow.
We will.
Because I saw that as I was looking at the card. I was like, I had no idea there was a belt on this logo. But all that said, the merchandise in the pro shop was great. I mean, the brands that you're looking for, they have it all. Spent probably too much money purchasing, you know, shirts and, you know, whatnot. But I think it's a cool logo. It certainly checks my box for certain shirts that are, you know, a logo. Although it has the CD, you know, there's no Crystal, like, they have Crystal Downs on kind of the bottom part or above it, or, you know, around that kind of circle logo. But, you know, they have a lot of merchandise that's just the CD and, you know, no Crystal Downs. And it's, you know, those are my, if you've listened to many of these episodes, that's one of my favorite things. A small, understated, no words, if you know, you know, sort of logo. And so, you know, I very much appreciate some of that merchandise, but you guys can talk about your merchandise haul if you want.
Yeah, I was very pleased to tell the wife. I spent zero, but I think I touched a club cover five or six times. They probably thought I was going to steal it. And what I loved about it is not only the understated, like, you know, circle CD, which I think is a really cool logo, and like the tartan blue green with the gold, you know, belt cover and logo. I'll call them the alternative logos, or just like the non-standard, just calling it the Downs, like even the scorecard holder with the Downs. I wanted all of them. I wanted the black, white, blue. I wanted all of them.
But that's how the members refer to it, right?
Yeah. Correct. They call it the Downs. So, like, I first time I was like, oh, let's go to Crystal. Bill's like, yeah, we're going to play the Downs. And I was like, the Downs. Oh, that's cool. Sick. Then you walk into the pro shop and you're like, they have the Downs. So I touched this hybrid cover, and I was like, it not only was it like the colors I love, but it was also, it had like just, it was so subtle and stated. Like, I was like, I should buy it. No, I shouldn't buy it. I should buy it. No, I shouldn't buy it. Four times. And I was like, God, like, you know, the mental torment. Yeah, I may inevitably end up texting him and be like, please, yeah, I would like one. Thank you. If it was a three wood, maybe I would have said yes. I have a flag. The flag is sick. I think it's a really cool logo. And then they have the downs thing, which I love. I think it's sick. So tell me about your haul. Tell me about your thoughts on the logo and Pro Shop.
So like I said, I didn't do a lot of research on this place. I did a quick Google search, and it was like, hey, 45 seconds of, I can't find much on this place, so we're just going to have no expectations coming in. On the drive up here, I said I like circular logos that don't have a lot of details. We get in there, there's a old school CD circular logo. I'm like, all right, well, this is sweet. 1927, it's good. My Pro Shop experience was, I was very kind to the gentleman up front, and I began stacking things on the counter. And I believe right before I decided on my head cover purchase, I said, where are we at with the total? And
you began stacking things on the counter before.
Yeah. First of all, I go in.
5 hours later,
I see a hoodie, and I said, hey, you know, I mean, listen, as a medium apparel wearer here, you got to kind of grab the stuff as you get it, because everybody in golf seems to be an XL. And so, I grabbed the medium hoodie, and I said, I am going to buy this. It's just going to be after the round. Can you guys put this aside? And he's like, absolutely. So, puts the hoodie aside. I come back in, you know, flag. And, if my wife's listening, you know, no other items. And, I get $0 spent, and I get up there, and I said, you know, guys, I'm debating on this head cover. Where am I at? They give me a total, and I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And the one guy says $70 for this head cover, and the guy goes, actually, it's $60. And the other guy goes, well, it's $60 on your card plus $10 cash. So we had a good laugh about how to pay for these items. But I checked out. He asked me, you know, do you want a receipt? I said, absolutely not. Please do not give me a receipt for these items. And we went on our way. I felt like I got a good mix of items, but I broke my hat rule. I told you guys I'm kind of out on buying hats. I said, got to get a hat. So I got a hat, got a couple other items, and we had a good time. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, just the right amount of old school, the right brands, everything, just a cool place. It's something that you want to remember. So I also got a flag, Matt. So yeah.
The only other thing in the clubhouse that I wanted to mention was the little snack window that they have in there, that we got some sandwiches and wraps afterwards, which were delicious. But they've got a cooler of drinks, and in that cooler are canned Gatorades,
oh, yeah,
which classic, are a classic and hard to come by. And, you know, any place that's got a canned Gatorade, feels like a winner for me. But the service there and the sandwiches were delicious, and you know, again, everybody that works there, I think, is, you know, was just top notch and welcoming, and you know, I have nothing but good things to say about, you know, the staff and those at the Downs. So
yeah, I agree. What a day today, boys.
Yeah.
And not only did we wrap up a solid 18, but we come back home and we're pouring ourselves some High West Prisoner Share, thanks to Matt.
Yeah.
And that's phenomenal. We'll have to talk about the bourbon separate, because we've already gone an hour 30 on this whole pod. We thought we were going to do like a 30-minute pod and turned into a full 90-minute sesh, but... That Wild Turkey, we got some Elijah Craig Ryder Cup, We got Ryder Cup talk to, you know, stuff to, we have so much content banked for y'all. Like, it's coming, it's going to come full fledged. What an episode. I mean, like, you're itching for the mic. What do you got to say?
I was just going to bring us home and say we are going to have some serious Ryder Cup discussion tomorrow night. And I mean, we're not going to be able to pass this mic fast enough. But we are amped to be here the week of the Ryder Cup. And I mean, the social media posts are flying. Looks like the Europeans are chunking and blading chips all over Bethpage. I am loving it, dude. I am loving it. I'm so excited. I'm so excited for Rory to pee his pants at Bethpage. So, yeah, we're really banking the content, and we'll talk bourbon, we'll talk Ryder Cup, obviously we'll talk the equivalent golf experience, which is us at the Kingsley Club tomorrow. and we do promise that we will eventually finish our reviews of Bandon Dunes and the entire property. So I'm gonna bring us home. You know, this has been a fun episode, 90 minutes talking about the downs, and I would say it's worth the hype. If you get the chance, make the trip. Fun day, boys. Pour for the course. Out.